Today on Tangents Gaming Podcast, we're going to be digging into the archives of 2011 with the massive bomb of MX versus ATV alive right here on Tangents Gaming Podcast. My name is Toby. Hopefully all is well. And yes, I know I haven't been pumping out the shows like I should. April has been one of those very interesting months. But one of the reasons why I decided to pick this particular game when it comes to talking about is MX versus ATV Alive is one of the games that could have been a hit, but massively failed. As I sit here and think about it, I'm taking a look at how it operated, and I'm thinking, was it way ahead of its time? Or was it behind at that time? Or was it absolutely so advanced with the business model that people were absolutely scared of it? When I mean the business model, most of the games, what you do is you go, you pay for the disc, or now that all these corporations are starting to move into the digital age, you have a game that you could play online, offline. If you lived on a farm, it would have never had any difference because you didn't need the internet. This one of the reasons why I got it is because one of my buddies is big into motocross, still is after all these years. I was never a rider, but I loved watching it and playing video games. So he told me, head out and buy MX versus ATV Alive. It's really cheap. It was like between $30 to $40. Thought, oh, cool. Full game. Get to play it. It's super cheap. Until you put it in and you start kind of navigating through the whole entire game itself to realize that it is not even close to what you're expecting when it came to the game. What I mean by that is you hop on, you're taking a look, you go in a race, and all of a sudden you only have four tracks. Two Supercross, two National. Just in case you're trying to figure out what National and Supercross is. Supercross is a tight race that is more or less put into a stadium. So the corners, they're super tight, short straightaways, things like that, where the National would be more into a back kind of wooded area, long straightaways, long jumps, sweeping corners where you can basically drop it down a gear, hammer on the gas, ride through the berm. It would be a circuit that is more meant for Mother Nature. That would be your absolute best bet of, you know, explaining the difference between Supercross and National. But when it comes to this, you're looking going, well, there's only four tracks. What the hell? So whatever, you hit Supercross, you go to your gear, there's like two gear. What the flip? You click on bikes and there's like one or two bikes. It's like, you're looking at it even before you could even imagine playing the game itself. And you're thinking to yourself as you're taking a sip on your favorite beverage, what the hell is going on? Where is the game? And I totally understand that the game itself is like, for example, say $40 taxes it. But you paid for a game to only get like four tracks, two bikes, gear wise, you get two, and it's not even the bikes you like or the gear you like. And you're thinking to yourself, what the hell is going on? The worst part about this game isn't the fact that you have to spend money to get these things. It's the fact, when was that release? it never had all the tracks. It never had all the gear or bikes. It might have had like one or two gear, one or two extra bikes. The content that these guys were willing to sell to you were not released at launch day. They were released months down the road. No matter how hard I wanted to try playing this, there was no way that I was going to fork over $20 worth of content in a few more months. When I purchase a game, I want a game that's actually complete, where I can hop on, play, and have fun. Even my buddy Hoyman, he was like, what the hell? He even got misled and he was massively pissed, knowing that the game that he bought and he was bragging about wasn't even there. It was that bad. Even if you go and take a look at some of the scores, like Gamer Evolution was a 2.5 out of 10. Xbox, PS3, 63 out of 100. There was a 6.5 by GameSpot and IGN. Like, yes, the price was a lot lower, which I have no issue with. It was kind of a wonderful, exciting spot. If you wanted to complete a game, like the actual game itself, it would cost you the full, you know, $80, $90 to get all the add-ons. Then you fast forward, say, like 10, 15 years, and you take a look at what we have. I think my math is wrong by a little bit. And you go and you take a look, you have games like Fortnite, Apex, I don't even know what other games are out there that people are playing. And you literally will spend $20 to get a skin that you can use to play. So was MX versus ATV Alive a little ahead of itself? And the business model that they projected a little bit more advanced than what people were used to? I can understand the business model of it is you buy what you want. So for example, if you wanted a two-stroke 250 Kawasaki, you could spend the $2 to get the KX. If you want a Yamaha, go for it. $2 for the YZ. If you wanted KTM, go for it. If you wanted Answer gear, go for it. Troy Lee Design, go for it. Thor MSR, you go for it. You buy what you want, just kind of like in real life. I understand that whole situation. You buy what you want instead of, you know, buying and all of a sudden you're going through. It's like, no, don't want Troy Lee. Nope, you don't want Thor. Nope, Fox, forget it. Oh, there's MSR. Let's go. Blue, red, yellow. I don't know which one I want. So that part I really do like. And there's tons of other stuff that we purchased in our lives that are kind of, you know, a little on the sketch side. Where you do what you do. I guess it's the whole mental part about purchasing in-game content. I'm from a generation. There's tons and tons of people, probably millions plus, that will basically look at the game, see that you could either play it or you could buy it to unlock. And even my kids nowadays, they don't understand the struggle. They look and be like, well, I want to buy this to unlock it. I'm from a generation of, for example, MX versus ATV Remix, where you play to unlock, not buy to unlock. So the whole concept of this in 2011 was still new. But when you have game manufacturers like Epic, who will basically have a whole whack every single week to every single month of new items that you could purchase to unlock. The MX vs. ATV Alive was actually ahead of its time, and the concept and idea was great. But I think the problem with this concept when it came to this is it was too advanced. People weren't used to it. And I'm pretty sure if you take this concept and release it today, it would have been a lot better. But I'm still back in the day where you play to win, not you pay to win. I know you could have some of the worst people playing wise. I'm not talking about personalities, but skills. Buying all this stuff and not even improving in their actual game itself. You can call me crazy as much as you want. That's basically just how it is. It's massively mind-boggling. So it just, it is what it is. One, even to this day, with this whole MX versus ATV, if you go and take a look, Alive was such a massive downgrade from Reflex, which was the game before. People keep bringing up Reflex as probably one of the best motocross games ever created. And, you know, I'm not going to disagree. It probably was, is, and forever will be one of the best motocross games that you could ever play. It's just that damn good. If you want to get into some of the most horrible, like Alive, it was bad just because of the platform and the style that they have. I started trying to play a few of the motocross games back in the early 2000s on the PlayStation 1. And my God, that was absolutely hideous. It's amazing that we took time, effort to play some of these games. Just because, like, literally, they were that bad. Real no player physics to it. You couldn't really lean with it, rock with it. You just rode, and it kind of had almost the physics of cars. Like, you just go around corners, of course you jump. But even the player, the bike, it didn't have that same feel that it should have. So it was going good. Then once Alive came out, it just kind of fell back down, and it's starting to slowly pick up. But people are still complaining about the new ones not being as good as Reflex. MX versus ATV had something there, and they blew it. Will the people still trust? I'm not quite sure. Ever since Alive came out, I really haven't played many motocross games. In one of my upcoming episodes, there's two games that I want to talk about, and it was on the Xbox when it comes to motocross. They were good. They were great. I'll let you know what they are in my newsletter, which can be found on my Patreon. But in the meantime, if you have any questions or comments, tangentsgaming189@gmail.com. TangentsGaming189 across social media. If you hit up X, you can find me there. That's where I'm most active. And, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But in the meantime, you guys, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you hit the follow, subscribe, you name it, so you will always get the show. And make sure you tell your friends and family. So I will talk to you later, and hopefully you have a wonderful day. Peace.